Hello, everyone. You're listening to our Favorite Things podcast. This is the highlights episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast. My name is Tiesa, and I'll be your host for this lovely episode. Joining me, as usual, is my beautiful friend and co-host,
Mofi. Wow, Tiesa is whining me. Hey, folks. Happy new month. Happy May. Welcome to May.
Wow. You know, there's something very, like, I feel that's very Nigerian about saying Happy New Month. Like, I can't get over it. I feel like it's just a very Nigerian thing to do. Happy new month.
Happy new month. I love it.
Right, I love it. But it's nice. I feel like today, like, we entered May without me, like, just realizing. I was even about to just write, like, April 30th. Anyway, I'm excited. May, beginning of summer. And all things sunlight. Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to us this year on whatever platforms. If you're new here, thanks for joining in. You can find our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and Google Podcasts. We are there at Our Favorite Things, and favorite is spelled with a U. We're also on social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, and we're there at Our Fave Pods. If you've been on our social media this week and last week, you'll have seen that we released our book list for our new segment. Well, not a new segment, but new this year, Our Fave Reads, coming out this summer. And if you don't know what that is, you know, Mofi and I, we kind of pick a few books, usually 3 to 4 books to read, and we'll dedicate a podcast episode to each, to talking about each book. So it's usually a lot of fun. We pick books that we're excited to read, and we've done the same thing for this summer. So we're super excited to have you all listening for this year. So starting in May, we're going to be kicking off with Angela Davis's Women, Race, and Class. I'm super excited to read it. I think, Mofi, you have already started reading it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
really good.
I'm excited. I ordered mine. I think it's coming today. So looking forward to reading and then chatting with all of you. We really hope you will read along with us and join the conversation when we put out the episode. We'll be putting out reminders all throughout May until we release the episode, so you won't miss a thing.
Good job. Was,
I don't talk that much. So, Mofi, how have you been? How's the last week gone for you? Is Canada still in some version of lockdown? What's going on?
Yes, we're still here in a stay-at-home order. So you're not supposed to be outside except for, like, essential purposes and exercise, I guess. So that's still going on. I'm doing, I don't know, relatively okay. You know, I decided to, like, just kick in some sort of, like, happy feeling, because I think in the natural state that I wasn't necessarily feeling excited, especially based on some of the things we're going to talk about today. So I just had to, like, you know, take a shower, put on some perfume to, like, to just feel good.
I hear that.
Shit is wild indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also not a social that shit is wild, honestly, bruh.
Sorry, love, I interrupted you. Carry on.
No, I was gonna say, I'm also not on social media, which, like, puts things in, like, different, like, in a different headspace, because, like, I notice how much I'm not getting, like, additional information. Like, a lot of things that I'm processing are maybe things that are happening to me, or, like, you know, through TV. I mean, listening to, like, watching, like, reading the news still, but, like, there's random commentary that, like, you just don't get.
That you just don't get. Literally, like, I think we don't realize how much we're, like, bombarded with other people's opinions. Like, you're following, you know, thousands of people maybe on Twitter and Instagram. Like, you're constantly scrolling. You don't know when you've been scrolling for an hour. You don't know how much information that you've really just kind of been like forced yourself to look at and to engage with. It's a lot. It's a lot. That's why social media breaks work so well, because you remove like such a heavy like stimulant from your life, and it actually makes a difference. Yeah,
it does, yo. It does. Yeah. So that's how I'm doing. How about you?
I'm okay. I've been feeling like kind of like emotionally and mentally very like wobbly in the last like 2-3 weeks. Obviously that's like in huge parts of like the news. I just feel like, I mean, I'm at this point, I'm used to seeing bad news, right? But like I'm tired of this, like seeing the same kind of news, right? Like you wake up in the morning and another Black man or another Black woman has been shot. Like somebody else has been killed by the police. I don't know. It's just like, it's been a lot. And then couple that with just like seeing how like places are being devastated by COVID versus like other places, people are like kind of, you know, walking around, you know, it's a vaccinated summer, you know, I don't know. It's just like the disparities. It's all kind of just messing with my head a bit, and yeah, so I've kind of been struggling in that sense, but like otherwise I'm doing okay. My work week was super busy, but I'm looking forward to a very, very relaxed weekend. Please. Yes, that's how I'm doing. Yeah,
no, thanks for sharing that, and like just the like honesty of what that like of just of what's going on, but the disparities, you know, it's so real. And, I guess, and we can talk about it now. I just also wanted to say, like, I think that, you know, listening to, like, recording this podcast and listening to it, sometimes, like, you know, we try to think about, or as I'm preparing for it, I'm trying to think about, like, what type of energy do I want to, like, give? Like, you know, what do I want to talk about on the podcast?
Yeah.
And it's also the reality that like we're living truly within this time, and you know, we can try and avoid talking about heavy stuff so that people can like listen, and you know, maybe this is like the joy, but at the same time I think it's very important. I don't know, there's just a genuine feeling or genuine like energy of just knowing that like, yeah, we're gonna talk about our highlights, like we're gonna talk about some real like serious stuff. We're gonna talk about COVID, we're gonna talk about, you know, the killings of Black folks. So in some ways, like, I just wanna, I'm just holding space for that and acknowledging that, but also acknowledging it for people that, you know, maybe now is not the time that you wanna like listen to that type of conversation. So also just holding space for everybody, for us included, as we go as we have this and talk about it, but also know that at the end we will talk about highlights, we will share some stuff that I think we're listening to and engaging
enjoying
that really provide, you know, those little nuggets of joy and care that we have to give ourselves as
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. That was perfect. That's like a perfect, I guess, prelude. English. I guess that was a perfect prelude to like the episode. All right.
So should we? Okay. Anyways, I will start.
Shit has been wild.
Honestly, and just thinking about like the past like 2 weeks or so, and on the level of the amount of Black death that we've had to take, like, and it's happening all the time, you know, like, that's the reality of life for Black folks, is that like there's so much Black death all the time, and in this particular case, like talking about the Chauvin trial, so having to also just, you know, there's that burden and that almost like knot in your chest as Black folks living in the world, where you're like, there's nothing that has ever been justice for us, and this is not even like whatever within this criminal justice system isn't even it, but You just have a feeling that like somehow these people are going to acquit the police officer. And then going through it, like you're holding all of that energy, and having to relieve the trauma of watching George Floyd get killed, of just racism, of white supremacy. So there's that. And I guess within the same moments, we were also talking about Makiya Bryant getting killed and Dante Wright as well, and so many other people. I'm sure that their names aren't even being said right now. So
I am honestly like it's like, say their names and I'm not, I will never ever try to invalidate that, but like can we stop adding names to the list though? Like can names just stop being added to the list? I think for me, like that's the it's starting to just or it's been feeling just like very it's been feeling very painful and it's been feeling very like difficult to like to contend with. Like it's just so much disregard for Black lives. It's so much disregard. And to even think that like, I was loosely following the trial and thinking, well, they're gonna let this guy go. I mean, why would they not let him go? And then you even look at like, I mean, I don't know what his face might have been responding to. It might have been out of context, but like, that shock that was seemingly in his eyes, probably sitting there thinking, no matter how this goes, I'm going to be acquitted. And the fact that like he might have had, or anyone else might have had so much faith in the justice system to acquit him shows us how flawed it is. Because we saw what happened. It's like undoubtedly that this man committed murder. But still, we're all sitting behind the screens going like, he might walk free. They might give him probation, they might give him community service. So at the very least, it was just nice not to see that happen. At the very, very least, it was nice not to see that happen. But it's almost like you cannot even, you can be happy for 3 seconds because the next thing you're reading a headline, like another Black person has been shot and killed. Makiya Bryant has been shot and killed. Why is it always that? Why is it always a fatal shot? Why is it always a fatal shot? Why? And then you hear the story and it's like, oh, she brandished the knife. Oh, she looked as if he was pulling something from his pocket. What are all these things? What are all these assumptions?
I thought it was my taser. It's just like,
That
okay. All these like little, all these assumptions, all these
all these excuses,
excuses.
mistakes. You don't make mistakes like that. You don't make mistakes like that when you have within you have on you the ability to take somebody's life. You don't make mistakes like that. You don't make mistakes like that. So it's just sickening. Like I thought it was my taser. You thought it was your taser? Are you a trained officer or are you a that's your first time using a taser, having a taser and a gun on you. It's just frustrating, Mofi. It's just frustrating. Really. It's just frustrating. And my heart goes out to all of the families who have to mourn their loved ones in this way. It's just a lot. It's just a lot.
It is. It really is. I don't have anything to add. I think you really said it all. You really embodied a lot of my feelings as well. I know I just said I don't have anything to add, but
When is that ever true, guys?
I just think about, as you were saying something about like why is it always a fatal shot? And that's also my question. It's always a fatal shot. There's something about this black person that like you have to rein them. You have to rein them all the time. And what happens? What happens if he gets away? Literally, like it's I would just say that, and this is why the police system needs to be abolished. I think that this is why, like, it's not doing anything good for us, for our communities,
No, no.
and for many generations of Black people, Black folks that have to live through this. Like, this is also not just happening to one person.
No.
It's
It's
community.
community.
It's people, it's different groups, it's different families that are living this loss, that are dealing with the trauma. So it's a burden on the Black community. This is what intergenerational trauma looks
Looks
like.
like.
So like it needs to stop because like for generations to come, this has impact. So
America is such an unsafe place for Black people, man. It's so unsafe. And I mean, not just America, but I'm talking about America because this is the country that we're currently discussing. And it just it really it sickens me. It sickens me.
And then you have like Kamala Harris, just to say that she was saying how there's no America is not a racist country. And it's like, but then she goes to clarify and say, but we have to be truthful about the history of racism. But there is a history of racism. So it's like, oh, okay, sis. So you've just said it without saying it because, like, my good sis is a politician. But yeah, it's just really annoying when, like, you see what's happening in the country and it's people don't want to label it what it is. And we need to know what we're naming. We need to name what we're talking about to know what to do
To
about
know what
it.
to do about it. I agree. I think that the way that you talk about things is very important. It shapes behavior, and it also it like motivates, like change or action. Like the way you talk about something is so important. You continue to downplay or say it's one thing when it's not. Like you're just never going to get to the point where you're actually taking actionable steps to solve the problem.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
yeah. Anyway, Derek Chauvin, or what's his face, can get all the 75 years. That would be great. That would be perfect. And just rest in peace to the beautiful souls that have been that were lost, George Floyd, Makai Bryant, Dante Wright, and just so many other names. That is just unfortunate to say so many other names. Like it's unfortunate that there's that long of a list. Oh, okay. Speaking, of life and the loss of it, COVID is continuing to devastate places in ways that, like, I am struggling to wrap my head around. We've been seeing, or I well, we both have been seeing news about like what's going on in India, and just seeing these big numbers, like 350,000 cases. What is that? I can't begin to wrap my head around it, right? Like it's such a huge number, but those are individual lives. Like those are people's lives. Like those are human lives. They're not just a number on a headline, And so when you think about it like that, you realize the actual like devastation that this disease is causing. And in a country with like so many people, right? Like India is like, I think India has like 1 point something billion people. It's just like, and they're struggling to contain the spread of the virus, struggling to like vaccinate people. I've seen that some vaccination centers have closed because they don't have stock. But then on the other hand, India is like a very like key, plays a very key role in the production of vaccines. It's just wild to me. And like, I guess that we saw these disparities coming, right? Like we saw that these inequities were going to like really like show themselves. But I think it's still just very sad to see how badly things are going, I guess, is really my thing. And then on top of that, to have a government that like doesn't really seem to care what happens to its citizens. Like, I don't know, man. Like, where do we go? Where do you go from there? Like, where do you go from there?
Yeah, it's so like it's just. I was reading the Guardian article that you had shared with me, and the writer was just saying how so many things like sets families, like could set families generations, back to the same point. But also the fact that I think he was saying like the trauma, the indignity, you know, this is like healthcare is a right and it should be a right. And to see people getting sick, people not having access, you know, to any type of healthcare. It just makes you, it just makes me question where are we existing in? Like, it's just it's so grim because these are like human lives. These are people. And in that same article, the author was just kind of saying how, you know, the rich will breathe. People are existing right now, and they would have access. And you think about so many workers. You think about so many poor people and people, everybody, like the right to live, the right to exist is like, and it's not as if these resources do not exist in the same, like on this earth and within these institutions that we live in. So it just makes everything just seem so bleak, if I'm being honest. And you know, as somebody that like likes to talk a lot about like systems and institutions, I mean it's so clear how real it is. And at the same time, it's just like, how does existence continue like this? You know, how like it's so urgent, like it needs to stop like now. And we can't even see that happening. Like people are having to like support one another. People are, activists are trying to like raise funds, like
rally,
people are
raise trying funds, to do rally. And you always see, you know what
kills
me, and just like, and then at the same time also like puts my faith in people, is that you'll see entire governments failing their citizens, and then it's community activists, grassroots organizations that are able to provide funds, that are able to provide supplies, that are able to provide oxygen, that are able to provide resources that the government should be providing. It's the same citizens you want to address, you want to tell to vote for you want to tell to, you know, you'll do this and that to make their lives better. And then when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the situations where you actually need to do something to make sure that your citizens are not dying, like, where's the care? That article was so like heartbreaking for me to read. I couldn't even finish it. Like, it was so grim, and it wasn't even like an exaggeration. It was just telling the situation how it is. And it's just so, it's just really unfortunate. I'm going to put in like some resources, including like the things that Mofi and I have read about what's going on in India, and also some verified like links, because people have been organizing like donations and fundraising, and so we'll include that in the show notes as well, so that you can read and educate yourself, and also if you would like to help in any way, because this crisis is just out of control, then you can do that as well. But just looking at, you're looking at somewhere like India, like that is going on, and then you're looking at the US saying they've like vaccinated, I don't know, a significant amount of their population. And it's just like, at the end of the day, what's going to happen with this pandemic is that, as the writer said, like the rich will breathe. Like the inequities are going to be so stark, it's going to widen the gaps even more in access to so many things. Like, and now we're hearing that, oh, the Pfizer CEO is saying the vaccine might need to be something that you do annually. And I'm just like, annually? I mean, fine, it's okay for him to say that, but like, so places have not even been able to vaccinate people, give them their first shot, not to talk of like following up, and then to now have enough stock. Like countries are literally like, somewhere like Nigeria now is probably just waiting for like another like shipment. Like a lot of countries don't have the resources to procure vaccines the way that the US does, the way that the UK does, the way that all these other like countries in the global north or whatever it's called have. And some of them are hoarding. The US was hoarding doses of AstraZeneca that have not
Not
been
doing
approved,
anything with it.
not doing anything with this. AstraZeneca has not been approved. They keep making more doses of Moderna, of Pfizer, of Johnson and Johnson. And like India had to be having 350,000 cases a day before they flew out doses of AstraZeneca. For me, it wasn't, it's not a quick enough response. I'm sorry, it's just not a quick enough response.
It shouldn't even have gotten to this
It should
point.
not have
That's
gotten to
the
that point. This thing
issue.
should have been so collaborative, where countries are saying, look, we have in excess of this, we have enough to vaccinate people here in this place for now, and we're getting more. Here's our extra shipment. Here, vaccinate your citizens. Here, vaccinate your citizens. Here, vaccinate your citizens. Like, I don't know if I don't know if I'm simplifying it or something, or if there's something that I'm not understanding, but like, what is it with these huge countries and just like hoarding their wealth and hoarding their resources in a situation? This pandemic, it's global. It's global. If somebody travels from one country where there's an outbreak of COVID to your country, it will become a problem in your country. If for that reason alone, like you want to help, you should want to help.
But you're not simplifying it, because like it's as simple as that. It's literally as simple as that, but they make it seem like that is so like radical. Like, whoa, it's what makes sense. I mean, all of the other things that you said is what, like, it's about wealth, it's about power, it's about supremacy. Because like now, for example, flights cannot leave India. People can like places are banning flights. So it's about these countries, these Western countries that have colonized and oppressed so many of these countries, like India. Then they want to still like, and then they would say they're sovereign and close their fucking borders, that like, and that is how things continue to be perpetuated. It's that cycle, because they want to always remain powerful and in power and continue to marginalize countries like India, countries like Nigeria, and so on and so forth. So many countries in Africa and in Asia, and it's so intentional. It's so intentional. And that's what's upsetting, because like people just think that like, oh, these things just happen.
Happen, and they don't. They honestly don't. They honestly don't. These things are systemic and they are intentional, and there's, like, someone's like, oh yeah, I guess India is suffering. I mean, what do we can't really do anything about it. Let's see how the situation develops, really.
It just makes me also think about how like governments are so trash, and it's impossible to trust them. Like, I don't know how people sit out here and trust their governments, because
absolutely impossible.
How is it that earlier this year, this man is saying, haha, look, y'all were laughing at India, like, yeah, all of this stuff, like, saying, like, not doing anything.
Looking out and acknowledging the crowds, the hordes of people during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And you see it in so many countries. It's like the governments actually, when they lie to people, they say, like, people are not dying of oxygen, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, when people are, they lie. And, yep, and they just don't provide support. How is it that in a state, I think, or mm-hmm, in a village, Kevadia, I'm probably not saying name, I'm saying it with a mix of a Yoruba and fake Canadian accent.
The best kind of accent.
But like, there's no hospital. Like, how mm-hmm can there not be? And how can there not be hospital mm-hmm in spaces mm-hmm and in cities and in states?
Mm-hmm. And then probably access to the nearest hospital is some expensive car ride away or something. And, you know, these numbers, we're seeing these numbers, they're probably not the actual numbers, right? Because mm-hmm there are people who are not even going to get to the place mm-hmm where you can record that they've died from COVID. Like, you know, some people are going to die from this disease and it's not even going to be recorded. Yeah. It's just crazy. I think the world really just needs to start operating so much more on a, like, less on an individualistic, you know, kind of mindset, and more just thinking about everybody as, like, global, like, neighbors and partners, and, like, wanting to the best for your neighboring country, or not even if not your neighboring country. I mean, these days you can get almost anywhere in the world in a day, in one day. Do you know how much that, like, shortens the distance between countries? Like,
And also, not to, like, but, like, also the fact that, like, these countries are not even fucking real. They've all just been created. like all these borders and shit. I agree with you. Like, as you were saying that, I was like, you know, white supremacy and capitalism have to be destroyed in order for us to ever get to any semblance of working with values of, like, mutual aid and mm-hmm interdependence and mm-hmm things like that, because, like, people care about money, and that's why we're seeing all of this
exactly
happen. it's all about money, all about hoarding, and those are the tenets of systems and ideologies like white supremacy, like capitalism, like patriarchy and shit like that. So it's just upsetting, and just thinking is just, like, for me this morning as I was reading, it was just holding so much space and heaviness, and, you know, however people are processing this trauma. Especially mm-hmm folks from India, from Bangladesh, from so many countries and regions around, because it's we're hearing about India, but so many countries are also experiencing this as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trauma that comes with loss of life and loss of life in such a drastic and large number of mm-hmm like, I don't know, I'm trying to.
It's such a large number.
I can't even imagine how people are processing this right now. And as we said earlier at the start of this, because I know we've talked about systems and things that we're talking about individual people mm-hmm like going through all of this, and individual mm-hmm lives and families and communities that are experiencing so much loss. So I don't know, I'm just holding a lot of space, just my heart is heavy, and just thinking of, like, the plethora and the billions of people that are grieving, that are hurting, that have been from the start of COVID,
exactly,
and particularly in this time as well.
Mm-hmm. It's important. Okay, I think we have one more, like, COVID COVID-friendly discussion, not COVID-friendly, but COVID in line with COVID, is the US Centers for Disease Control has said that if you're vaccinated, you can walk around without a mask if you're in America. And I'm not really understanding because me, I went to go read it and like I get it. Like on a theoretical level, like I understand it. It's okay, you're vaccinated, the chances of you transmitting the disease and also like I guess getting it as are like small or whatever, but like their research is not even like that robust, right? Like they're not fully sure about like about that statement, about whether or not like transmission, like the research is not robust, there's not a lot of research on it, I should say. What's the rush? Just tell people to keep wearing, like where are we all running to? We've barely, we and mind you, people are still allowed to like come in, and Americans are still allowed to go to different places, certain places that have not yet banned Americans. I just think it was premature. Someone is going to walk out of their house being like, already Americans are like, I don't want to wear a mask, right? Like someone's just walking to their house being like, okay, who can tell if I'm vaccinated or not? I'll just not wear a mask. So like that's my thing. It's like you're not walking around with vaccinated on your forehead. Like are they just hoping that people are going to do the right thing, and like if they're not vaccinated they will wear their mask? Is that the hope?
See, good luck to y'all in America.
I can't begin to care because for me I'm just like I think it was a bit premature. I'm just like you're trusting in Americans to do the right thing. I feel like an American can know they have COVID and cough for somebody. Like, I have no trust in the American public to do the right thing. I have zero trust in them. So that's interesting. I personally am still going to walk around with my mask. At the end of the day, it's guidance from the CDC. I guess it's not a command, but it's just interesting that they felt the need to like very quickly put that out. It's like, get most people vaccinated first, at the very least, like let most of the country be vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and then maybe you can tell people to stop. Because there's even like, oh, okay, in small gatherings, but then if you go to a medium or large gathering, wear a mask. I'm just like, keep the mask on. Like, anyway, that's we'll see what how that plays out. I mean, I guess in Texas the governor told them not to be wearing masks, and
That was a long time ago, so
that was a very long time ago, so I guess anyway, we're gonna jump into our highlights, as usual. Mophie, can we start us off?
Yes. First of all, I think I want to start off with the fact that this past week, I think we're still in the week. I guess the week starts on Sunday, however you count it, but it's Lesbian Visibility Week. I guess I will give you guys so much time and date, but because when we release it might not be the
Exactly.
case
Yeah.
and things
So
like
right now.
that. Yeah, so the week from, I guess, Monday, May 26th, up until the end of the week, Sunday, sorry, Monday, April 26th to May 2nd, is Lesbian Visibility Week. So I'm just sending all the love and pride
Yeah.
and happy being visible.
Happy Visibility Week.
Yes,
I've
shout
been seeing
out.
some like really cute like posts. I was following like Amara. You guys don't know, she's like a Twitter personality. I mean,
Guess I said Twitter personality.
she's well, I know her from Twitter, is what I should say. She's not a Twitter personality, but I know her from Twitter. And she's an activist.
She does YouTube. Am I
Yeah,
the
she does
lesbian?
YouTube. I'm not the lesbian. Yeah, she's watched her videos. I've actually watched her videos, quite cute. Yeah, anyway, that was all I wanted to plug there. This was how I found out it was from Amara.
I see. Got it. Thanks for that, TFA. But speaking of, I guess, socials, one thing that was a real highlight of my week, I don't know if you all saw it, but was Eniola, who is, as TFA will say, Twitter personality. I think this is a
Oh
good way
God,
to
this is
brand
going
her
to
name.
come invites me. And if you're listening.
Yeah, like she's an content creator. I'm like, I don't know what people like being called influencers or not. I'm not sure. But like, yeah, she creates content. She makes videos, a fashion stylist.
She's a style queen. And
so many things. Yeah, style queen. But she did this video, this Rich My Friends dancing like Bob Risky challenge. And I had the opportunity to be a part of it. And it was so much fun.
Killed it. I think to this date, I've now watched that video like probably like 10 times.
Oh, wow.
It was so good. It was so much, well, it was so much fun to watch for me. So I can't imagine how it was for you guys creating it.
Yo, so many tries.
So but Risky is a trendsetter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
Have to say,
yeah, but Brisky says trends sometimes. She just says
what sometimes things, she says so. Absolute nonsense, so let's just be clear.
But yes, a true queen, a true trendsetter.
Yes,
that was really fun. I just want to plug it and plug Annie's IG for y'all if you're looking for like dope ass content.
Yeah,
it's Eniola who. But it was nice. It was nice to like debut myself as
as a dancer.
You know, just as a dancer. In fact,
what's happening here? Yo, Mommy gave me her all. Please go and watch that video. She was robbed, though. She was robbed of the points. I think Eniola is repentant at this point, but she was robbed. Okay, she was robbed.
And then another thing I'm watching, or I'm currently watching because it's still on, is The Circle. I don't know. Do you watch
a new season? I don't. Mm. You've now told me maybe like three times to watch.
Wow.
It. Yeah, I don't watch.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, it's a new season. There's a new season airing right now. I think the finale is on Wednesday. So it's like it's a reality TV show where like people, like you're all in an individual apartment and people are engaging on The Circle. So The Circle is like an app, for example, like it's a social media platform.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, but they can only like text message. There's no like voice and video. So people like either come in as themselves or they come in as a catfish.
I see.
Yeah, and then essentially the game is just like each week they rate who's the most popular. So the game is to be popular, and you know this.
Oh, it's not a dating show.
No, it's a competition. It's a competition show. Yeah, and at the end of the day, vote who's the most popular. People leave each week and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
They win money.
Yeah, they win $100,000.
Yeah. But like, what makes it interesting to watch?
Everything. I'm like, where do I start?
I was like, I've not yet heard.
Like, I just told you that. No, I guess it's seeing like you know who's a catfish, who's not a catfish. So you're seeing them interact, like see people like lie, manipulate, like win friends. That's essentially it. Just like watching like people deceive one another
to try to get the most popular vote.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you see people's personalities.
Sorry. Okay, why do you watch it?
Yeah, like, okay, great. Thanks for the description, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You watch the show. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Okay, I'm not going to say that I'm going to watch it. Let me just shut up.
You're not going to watch
it. I'm probably not going to watch it. The thing is that I do actually like competition shows, but I think it has to be very specific. I do mostly, not because you watch all the competition shows, that means I don't like competition shows. No. I like competition shows. Like, I love MasterChef, Dancing with the Stars, and those competition shows. I love Jeopardy. I think it just has to be very specific. I love trivia. Like
trivia. Yeah.
And I like dancing. So.
And eating. So and it food. Shows that I just in relation to things that you like.
It's honestly true. Honestly, it's quite easy to get to know me. Like, if you actually just study me for like 1 week, it's very easy to know the things I like. And all of them bleed into one another.
Literally. Girl. Moving on.
Moving on.
I mean, this is just a highlight for me. Not like Tessa and I are going to have discourse on it, but Drag Race finale also aired in April, sometime in April this month. And I don't know if people are going to watch it, so I don't want to provide a spoiler. Yeah, but like,
spoil it for people.
Okay, so
I feel like Titi watches Drag Race, and we know Titi listens to this podcast. Don't ruin it for Titi.
Anyways, dope. I really enjoyed this season. I really enjoyed like the final four queens, to be honest. I think that maybe except for one, but I think that there's just so much personality. So it was fun to watch.
Okay, now okay. So should I not say what I want to say? Let me just say what I want to say. What, tell me the same question I asked about the circle. Why do people love Drag Race?
I don't understand.
like what's the draw? Because I actually don't know. I just see people talking about it a lot, but I've never like tried to watch it or like read anything. But I just know it's super popular. But like, what's the aim? What's the goal in Drag Race?
And like straight people be like,
you're
wrong. That's all I can think about. Because, I mean, it's drag queens, right? Like, you know what drag queens
are. Yeah. But like, know? What is the show about? Like, is it fashion? Is it?
It's all the things. It's all the things. Because drag queens are like, you know, they do fashion. There's like comedy queens. There's like drum, like, you know, acting queens. There's like queens that like sing.
I see. Okay. So
each week RuPaul and her production company they have like different challenges that they have to do. So sometimes they do like musicals, they do like different stuff. And each week there's also a runway, so they have to they create an outfit or whatever. So it's like
it's kind of like a variety show.
It's a variety show. Pretty much.
Okay.
Drag queens.
Okay. I've never known what Drag Race is about. I just really thought, I'll save my comments for after the podcast.
Before people
drag me like out on the internet.
don't even tell me. I'm like,
I know, right?
I don't want to know. Just keep it.
Like, whatever you thought it was, it's not. And now move on with your life. Okay. And I probably helped somebody watch Drag Race and The Circle. You have to thank me for my...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think so. There's people that now will go search up Drag Race or search up The Circle. So,
I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah. I can't with this girl. And then the last thing is just that I feel the need to just shout out. I keep touching this microphone.
Yeah,
and I wonder.
I feel like the audio, things are happening to the audio.
Things are happening, guys. That's the reason.
Yeah.
But these days, I've been really finding Adana and David's content. YouTube interesting.
No question mark.
I shouldn't have said it that way, honestly.
Because that's the way you would have written it in your text to me. Interesting, bracket open, question mark, bracket closed. That's exactly how the text would have come.
Are you enjoying them, Tessa?
I'm enjoying them so much. And I can relate with your interesting question mark comment, because like their YouTube, like I haven't watched it consistently, and because I don't always find it interesting, which is, you know, nothing to them. That's probably just me.
Yeah.
But these, I don't know what kind of content Adana and David have just been cooking up, but I've been loving it, from reels to their YouTube, bro. I watched a God knows how long video of Noah doing something. I was just there watching it, and I don't know, it's something about just like their family and their like joy and their relations with each other. And I love how they talk to their kids. Like, I love how they kind of treat their kids like know, human beings. You know, like some people don't like treat kids like human beings, and I just love that. You know, give them space to talk, give them space to like comment, and like just it's just happy. It's a happy space. My one of my favorite corners of the internet right now.
Yes, exactly. That's how I feel. It feels like a happy space. It's so nice seeing like her little boys, like, and their interactions. And
I love it. Just and their personalities.
And I think like what I enjoy about Adana is and David is that they seem to be like, for lack of a better word, like real in some sense. Like I guess like I see a lot of like, I don't know, there's times that Adana would like show her apartment, and her apartment is, or is, house is a is mess.
Messy. Yes, it's see, not always pristine.
Adana messy. And I think that's almost more of a natural state of their home than more than so not. Than not. And just things like that. I just you feel can like relate, huh? I can't really. I'm like, there's people like this in the world. Everything will be okay. Gosh, somebody, if someone's listening to this, they might die. But but I don't know. And just seeing the ways that they share some stories about their kids, and it just seems like they're just like whatever.
It's
very nice.
It is. And like y'all definitely have to check out like Adana and David's like dancing reels or TikToks or whatever they are. It's I love it so much. It's the best. Adana be a cute little bump.
I like it's David and his smile, like his face. I'm like, you know, you can tone it down. I know you don't have to be smiling that much. His smile is always so big.
David's dancing faces are the best thing. But yeah, if you're even looking for a timeline cleanse, YouTube cleanse, and David. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, I'm all done.
Always have so much fun with Mophie's highlights, I have to say. And then I'm like, I don't want to share mine. That's saying something. I'm not boring, guys.
Sure.
Okay, my first highlight, and it's more of kind of like a, I'm highlighting one book, but it's also just a general, like, the genre. So I've been reading a lot of, like, not a lot, but I've been reading some children's and, like, middle grades novels, so, like, for kids and, like, kids up to age 12. And there's so many good novels out there for the young ones. Y'all don't restrict yourselves to young adults or adults fiction and nonfiction. These children's books are really good. So I was reading this one called Other Words for Home by Jasmine Warga. And I actually think you'll really enjoy Mophie.
Yeah.
It's so cute. It's on Scribd if you're still subscribed. You abandoned Scribd. What I can say, it's so cute. Yeah, it's so cute. It's about this like family, the mom and the daughter, like they moved from Syria to the United States, and it's told from the point of view of the daughter. So she's like 12 years old, and I think like just hearing her like talk about like her home, like talk about Syria, and talk about how it's this place that like people view one way, and her living in it is like completely different, right? Like just that description of home from somebody who like calls a place home is always so different than like other people's viewing of it, like from TV, and all they see is like conflicts and all of these things. And even then moving to the US and then trying to like settle in and like get accustomed to different, like the cultural differences. And like, you know, making
don't
friends.
Tell us the whole book.
Sorry. I'm just like so excited by it.
No spoilers, please.
No spoilers. But yeah, that was the last thing I was gonna say, just like making friends and stuff. Anyway. Very cute novel by Jasmine Warga. Very like you should read it. It's very cute.
I love that. I love like reading like children's like book, like children novels and things. They're just so, you learn so much. They're so
you
insightful.
Learn so much. Like, and for me, I also think like it also encourages, and this is something that I'm very passionate about, is like, and I mentioned it about Dana and David, is like treating kids like individual human beings, like with their own thoughts and their own personalities, and you know, like interact with them as respectable human beings. And I think sometimes, you know, hearing these stories told from point of view of a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old, like it really, like for me, encourages like that type of thinking. Like these are people with their own personalities and their individuals. And yeah, any
Yeah, and it does stuff for your like inner child, like even as an
it
adult, like
do.
I think like it's worth it just like affirming, like for me there's some books that I've read and like you know reading about like love and parents and you know just affirming things in yourself, or if you're like thinking of being a, like an adventurer or whatever, I just think that there's benefits in engaging through like the different like stages of life, even as you are in different stages, like you know don't think like you know just because you're in your whatever 20s or 30s there's only engagement within that type of content that's applicable to like that age, because like
100%.
it's all you know it's all of the things are happening in the different stages, right? So
100%. But so yeah, if you enjoy like children's novels, that one's really good. And if you don't read children's novels, you should. There are some authors, there's some really great authors.
I'm getting for the little kitties in your life. Little babies.
Me, I'll be buying children's books, like I buy children's books for like children in my life, and then I read it first before before I
Oh yeah,
read
me
it to
too.
them.
Oh yeah, it's a thing. I'm like, okay, I just bought this book. Let me just read it real
Let me just
quick.
read it and then I'll deliver
Like,
it to
here you go.
you. Oh man. Yes, good times, good times. Also, I just discovered, okay, I didn't just discover it, but I've now just used it for myself. I've taken them off now, Mofi. I wanted to show you. They were so cute. Press
Oh,
on nails.
okay.
They were falling off yesterday, and maybe this is not good like PR for them, but like they were falling off yesterday. And so I just took all of them off. I was also like stressed, and so it was something to like do. Like I was like something I had control over. Anyway, guys, press on nails. For someone like me, like I'm not, first of all, I'm not gonna go to any nail store in this pandemic. It's just too, the proximity is too close. But I also like, I'm not really a huge fan of like the whole process. It's also kind of expensive. It's like a lot of maintenance. So press on nails, it took me like, I mean, I was taking my time and it took me like 20 minutes to do like press everything on by myself. But like, it's just a quick way to like get your nails ready. I really, really love these ones that I had on. They were so cute. It was like pink and like, the tip was like tortoise shell. Is that how you say that? I can't. Anyway, it was very cute. And I got it from this place called Static Nails. So if you are interested, check their website. They have like, it's like $20 or $15 or something. So $15 or
Oh,
$20.
cool. I've
So
been wanting
it's,
to try personal nails. I just
you
didn't know which
should.
one to get, so thanks for that.
Try static. I mean, it's a little bit like my nails. I think your nail shape is kind of an important aspect because like they all come in certain shapes, right? And everybody's nail shape is not
Right,
like
it's not
that.
the same.
Yeah, so I had to do quite a
True.
bit of filing of my nails, which I haven't done in forever, and I'm not even sure I really know
Right.
how to do, but it's just so convenient. So yeah, a
Cool.
plug for the babes and the guys if you're wearing press-ons.
Yes, for all the people.
By all the peoples. Okay, and my last highlights, which actually I'm now realizing that I think I'm currently missing one of the events right now as I'm podcasting. This is crazy. But there's this like world festival thing I signed up for. It's from like this studio called this organization called Amaka Studio. And it's supposed to be like this weekend of like self-care and like conversations. So there's like yoga, there's like a travel chat, there's like talk about finances, and it's hosted by Black women. And I don't know, I saw it on my, I can't remember who I saw it on Instagram, and I was like, oh, this would be a nice way to spend my weekend. I was very awkward that I think I'm missing one of the events. But anyway, it's through the whole weekend. So I'm really excited. I'm obviously mostly looking forward to the travel chat, but I'm also trying to get more into like talking and like learning more about my finances. So also looking forward to that. Someone should come and teach me how to manage my money effectively because
No.
it is needed. It is needed.
Yes.
But yeah, so if you all like Google Amaka Studio, you should be able to like find. I think it was free. It's like free attendance as well, so I didn't pay for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now
Those
check it
are my
out.
highlights, Bevs.
That's pretty much it. I just wanted to like plug just badassness that
Oh.
Akwa Ike is engaging in, because like I don't know where, like how, but Akwa Ike, they just kill it. Like
Consistently.
no one Akwa Ike, I've gotten this deal. You know,
I'm
your
kind.
first romance novel. Like what? When was this happening?
When was this happening? The book has not even been released yet. Akwaeke has signed a, what is it, a 7-figure or is it 8-figure
A
deal?
7-figure deal.
For the adaptation of the novel that has not even been released yet.
Exactly. Novel we never see,
We
and
never
like
see them. We never read them.
nothing, and there's already an
There's already
adaptation.
an adaptation. I mean, anyway,
That's just some
we
boss
were
energy.
like we are no strangers to sharing love about Akwaeke on this podcast. And we will continue. We will continue to stand because
Always.
wow. Love them, love them, love them, love them, love them.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, well, y'all have made it to the end of this lovely episode with us. Thank you. If you listen this far, you're amazing. If you're not subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, I mean, now may be a good time, to just press the subscribe button. And what it
Yes.
does is that you're just able to get our episodes as soon as we hit, publish. It's there on your phone or whatever device you're using to listen to it. We are, of course, on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor, and you can find us there at Our Favorite Things. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Our Fave Pods. You can follow us there for updates on when we release episodes and new like segments and things coming to the podcast. Mofi, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter, I'm Ms. Badmus, and on Instagram at Mophie's Book Collection or Ms. Badmus.
Yeah. Oh, nice. We're plugging both IGs now. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tiese, TIIESE, and also on my travel blog, samefootprints.com. Okay, until next time, y'all. Don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Stay safe, and
Okay.
we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.